We believe in God, the Eternal Father.
We believe in the Bible to be the Word of God.
We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous.
We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind.
We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God.
We may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things. We hope all things. We have endured many things.
Welcome to Why I Believe. Today we're talking with Ksenia Andrianova. Ksenia is living and going to school here in Salt Lake City now, but grew up in the mountains of Russia. And Ksenia, before we get into your story and how you came to join the church and end up here in Utah, could you tell us a little bit about your name? First of all, pronounce it correctly for us, and then tell us what it means.
So my name is Ksenia Andrianova, and I'm from Russia. I grew up in the Ural Mountains in the city of Ufa. My first name actually comes from the Greek language, and it means foreigner. So here I am. It's very ironic to me that it means foreigner. My last name, it's very interesting that it derived from... So basically the ending, the suffix of my last name means that I'm a daughter of Adrian. So in this Adrian guy... obviously was the lord that owned peasants, and the group of peasants received one common name. So basically they were his, and that's literally what my last name means. Does that make sense?
Totally. Totally. So, Ksenia, tell us about how you were raised. What was your childhood like in Russia? Mm-hmm. What was the political atmosphere, and what was the religious atmosphere in your home?
Okay. Well, my childhood was actually very cold. The Ural Mountains are really cold, so sometimes the temperatures would drop. Actually, it's a very easy thing for the temperatures to drop below 40 Fahrenheit. So it's very cold, but I remember that we would spend a lot of time outside. Sometimes the schools were closed, but we were still outside, even though it was so cold. So that's something that really sticks out to me about my childhood. The political atmosphere, I don't remember much about my childhood, about what was going on in the world. But I do remember the time when the political coup happened in Moscow, when basically two parties of people were fighting and the communism was finally overrun. I remember that clearly. At that time, I didn't understand much about the meaning of what was happening, but I remember being scared, and being scared for myself and for my family, because when you see tanks on TV, when you see people covered in blood, that is scary. So that's something that I remember.
Let me ask you, before you get down to the other, where were you located in relation to Moscow, which I assume was where a lot of this political upheaval was going on?
Right.
Where were you related to that?
So at that time in 1991, we were living in Ufa. It's quite a big city. Right now we have about 2 million people there. Maybe at that time it was, I'd say, a little over a million at that time. So it's a huge place, and we were home. My dad is a geologist, so he had a job in Ufa. He was never interested in moving out of town. He had a lot of being in the Ural Mountains, surrounded by all of those rocks. It's a paradise for him. So actually, my mom is a geologist as well, so I come from a geological family, if you can say that. We were living in our apartment in Ufa, and... I remember just watching all of those events on TV.
Hmm. And talk about, how old were you at that time?
Oh, that is a good question. So I'm 27 right now, and it's 2010. I am really bad at math. That was 1991.
Right. So that would be almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so you would have been, what, 8?
Probably about it, because I was born in 83, so 8 years old. That's right.
Mm. Mm. Well, Ksenia, what was your upbringing like in your home? What was your childhood like? How many siblings did you have? Mm-hmm. And what was the religious atmosphere in your home?
Mm-hmm. I actually come from a fairly large family according to Russian standards. There are four of us kids in the family. And at that time, during the communism times, for some reason, families started having less and less children. So it was very common to have only one or two children in the family. My family ended up having four kids because my mom's third pregnancy ended up being twins. So...
Are you one of the twins?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm the second oldest.
Okay.
Yeah. The twins are 23 years old, are little babies, but they're grown up right now. And I forgot the question.
What was your upbringing? What was your religious upbringing?
Okay.
And was it, talk about what it was. Mm-hmm. Was it more traditional? About that.
Okay. So... A lot that I will probably talk about will go back to communism because my parents started a family was at the time of communism. And at that time, religion was basically forbidden. If you practice religion, you could have gotten huge trouble. Things started getting better before 1991. So just there were some good positive changes. But basically, during communism, the party talked about that God didn't exist. And so on. That was the common religion of the communist people. So my dad was telling me a story about how his grandma was hiding the Bible at her house. So you couldn't put it on the table. You couldn't put it on a desk. It has to be hidden because if the authorities would come to your home and they would find that Bible, you could get in huge trouble. You can be imprisoned and it's just different things that could have happened to you. So my dad remembers that one time he came back from school and he was a little boy. And obviously at school they brainwashed him. And they talked how religion is bad and God doesn't exist and those are fairy tales and how destructive that knowledge is. So he came back home and he saw the Bible. He saw his mother, my grandma, reading the Bible or doing something with it. And so he said he just basically gave her a hard time about having the Bible at home. He said, why? You should get rid of it right now. And right now he is remembering that with a sense of shame because he knew that he did that just because somebody else at school told him, but he didn't trust and didn't believe his own mother.
Hmm.
So that is the background of, I guess, my upbringing. We never talked about religion at home. We never talked about God. But my dad taught me a set of solid moral principles. So he is one of the most honest men I know. So for him to be honest is just a natural thing. There is no other way. So even though we didn't talk about God, we didn't go to church as a family, I knew that to be honest and to live a good life, a productive life, was very important. But for some reason, again, being at my grandma's place, I saw a lot of just different religious literature when I was growing up, and that interested me. And I read a lot of Orthodox books because she was a member of the Orthodox Church. Most Russians are. So it was very interesting to me. And for some reason, just from the very childhood, I knew that God existed, and I remember saying little prayers just the way I was taught from those books. I saw how the priests did it. Mostly they were, how would I explain that? They were memorized prayers when you don't actually pray using your words, but they were memorized Orthodox prayers. So I remember doing that, and I felt good about it, and I remember that I did it every single day. And I think that actually really helped me to join this church because I was prepared. I was looking for something more.
Ksenia, tell the story about when you went to your grandparents' house for Christmas with your parents, and you discovered a book that I think was entitled The Law of God.
That's right. I don't remember exactly how old I was when I spent the Christmas with my grandparents, but I was a little girl, and we went to celebrate Christmas with my grandparents. In Russia, we celebrate Christmas on the 7th of January. It's not on the 25th of December. It has to do with different religious calendars. So we went there, and it was, of course, very cold, and the snow was everywhere. It's just, I don't have enough words to describe a Russian winter up in the mountains. It's cold, cold, cold. So we did some caroling, and we got back home, and we got some candy, I remember. So I remember my siblings went outside to play, and for some reason I didn't want to go. And I found, again, I started going through my grandparents' things, trying to find, I don't know, some things to entertain me. And I found a few books, and they looked as if they were a series of books, and they were called The Law of God. And it was Orthodox issued materials for the believers, for the churchgoers that wanted to learn more than just go into the sermon or than just go into worship and stand in the corner of a temple. So I read the first book while at my parents'. To tell you the truth, I don't remember much about what I learned right now, but it made a huge impact on me. Once again, I realized that God existed, and there were some rules that we have to follow in order for the things to be okay. I didn't think about afterlife much at that time, but I've always felt like God existed. He was there. He knew what I was doing, and that book helped me to get that knowledge and to get that confirmation again.
And you had an experience later in your life, didn't you, that that really brought to your mind the idea that death was really on everybody's doorstep and could happen, where you fell into a sewer. Tell that story, and how and what thoughts that brought to your mind about life.
Mm-hmm. I was a freshman going to college, majoring in English and minoring in French. And I remember one time I was going back home from school. So I was crossing a street, and I saw a few of my friends in the distance. So I waved at them, turned around, made one step forward, and fell into a sewer. It was an open hole in the middle of the road. If you have ever been to Russia, you know that those things happen easily. So it might not happen here in the States, but it does happen in Russia very often. So I fell into a sewer, but I managed to hold onto the edges, just grab onto the edges of the sewer, so I didn't fall all the way through. My friends saw what had happened to me, and they came to pull me out. So when they did that, I looked into the hole, and I saw that on the bottom of this deep hole, there were metal sticks or stakes just sticking out of the ground. And that very moment, I knew that if I had fallen all the way through, I would have been dead. And but I was still alive, and that was a miracle. My leg was wounded. It got infected later, so I couldn't walk for about a month and a half, and it was tough. But that experience made me think about what I was doing here on the earth. Had I died that day and that moment, what would have happened to me? That was the first time in my life I've ever realized that the end will come. We are mortal. So we all die. And that was the first time. I was 18 at that time.
Didn't that prompt you in your life to start on a journey of searching about God and about the different religions that there were?
That's right.
That is
right.
Tell about that.
Okay. So It was actually the first event in the chain of events that led to my conversion. Later on, I guess I was taking care of my wounded leg and I was missing classes. It was just a tough time. So I, even though I did remember about my questions, about where I, just my questions, where did I come from, where I was going, and what was I supposed to do here on this earth, while taking care of my wounded leg, I just forgot about that. I just decided to take care of different things and decided to think about those questions later. But I guess God gave me another gentle reminder later on when I was at home. My dad, being a geologist, he was gone a lot. So my dad was gone. My mom was gone. All of my siblings were gone as well. They were living in the country at that time, and I was going to school in the city. So I was, I always liked to do things with my hands. I liked to sew and knit. So I was sewing a pair of slippers. And the train of thought that I had was absolutely crazy. In Russia, we have a tradition of putting dead people, and when we put dead people in coffins, they are dressed in white slippers. It's just an Orthodox tradition. So when I was sewing those slippers, I thought of slippers, white, dead people, coffin, death. Absolutely crazy train of thought. But that brought me back to my experience with falling into a sewer. And at that time, I just realized that I had to get my questions answered. And I had been a member of the Orthodox Church before. And even though my family wasn't going to church, I would go to church anyway. I would go to church just on my own. So I went back to my church. That was the first step that I did, that I took. I decided to go back and see what I can find out. I went back. And I remember I was just standing in this little corner of the temple and not feeling anything. And actually, the only feeling that I had was that I couldn't wait to get out of there. And I can't explain that feeling. But at that time, I realized that what the church has taught me wasn't enough. There was more. And there was something obscure about teachings that I received. Something wasn't right. Something wasn't clear. So I knew that I needed to find out who I am and where I came from and where I was going. So I started going to different churches. I went to a Catholic church. It was interesting. I've talked to the priests and I asked them my questions. I attended the masses. I went to other churches. And I even went to an American hippie church where they were just clapping their hands and they were playing different musical instruments. They were good, fun people. But again, I didn't feel anything there. Something was missing. And at that time, I remember that one of my friends had invited me to come to English classes taught by LDS missionaries, and I had attended twice, but I didn't really have time to attend, and I didn't really think about it much. But all of a sudden, I had got that obsessive thought that I needed to come back to that meeting house and talk to those missionaries. I just realized that I wouldn't be able to find peace in life if I hadn't talked to them right now. So I went, and the meeting house was very empty at that day when I went there. There were only sister missionaries that were sitting in the foyer waiting for their appointment, but the appointment never came. And I just walked in and I asked them my questions. And of course, right now, having served a mission, I realized how excited those sisters were. So they were really excited to teach me about the plan of salvation, because the plan of salvation answered all of my questions with clarity, and it made a perfect sense for me. It clicked right away because I realized that I was a daughter of God. I had lived before I came here on this earth, and I knew what I was supposed to be here. I was supposed to keep the God's commandments, to try to come back to live with Him again after this life, because there is life after death. And the plan of salvation helped me understand that.
I think you mentioned that you had had some encounter with Mormons before, or had them described to you. Talk about what your previous perception of Mormons mm-hmm. was from other people describing them to you.
Mm-hmm. So the LDS missionaries came to Russia in about 1981, right after the communism collapsed. And so I think, I don't remember the year exactly off the top of my head right now, but I think I was about 9 or 10. And my mother is a theater goer. So she loves the theater. She loves dramas. She loves ballet. She loves plays. So, and as a family, we would always go there, especially during the winter season. So in one time, my sisters and I and my mom went to the theater to see a ballet. And we were sitting on the balcony, and I saw a group of young people dressed very alike, wearing business suits and ties, just on the very bottom. And I just couldn't help but staring at them. And when my older sister, who's 7 years older than me, saw that I was staring at them, she just told me, oh, don't look at them, don't look that way. They are members of some weird group, some weird cult. Don't look there. And when she said that, it worked. It just had an absolutely opposite effect. I wanted to stare at them even more. And that ballet, I don't remember what the ballet was, but I know that I was just staring at them the whole time. And for some reason, they fascinated me, and I was just looking at them, and I couldn't stop.
Hmm. You had mentioned, Ksenia, earlier that one of the main reasons you joined the church is because that you investigated the church was because it answered a lot of your questions about life and before life and after life.
Mm-hmm.
Were there other things about the church that impressed you at the time, or is that the main reason that you joined the church? Talk about your conversion and what was most important to you in joining the church.
I'm a very happy, optimistic person, but for some reason, teachings about the purpose of death and what happens after we die, that's something that attracted me, because I did have a series of events that made me think about that. When I was 19, when I had been a member of the church by almost a year, my best friend from childhood died in a horrible motorcycle accident. And that was the first death of a close person that I'd ever experienced. So going through that experience was something that actually made me read the Book of Mormon, even with a greater desire to understand what was going to happen with my friend Dennis. So when he died, and I remember that I couldn't make it to his funeral because I was living in a different city at that time. So I made it there 3 days later, and I was just standing at his grave after he was buried. And I had that question in my mind, do I really know? Or is it just his body beneath the earth and that's all? He's gone. He's dead. That's the end. So at that time, I realized that I needed to know whether I really knew what the missionaries taught me was true. And that's something that made me read the Book of Mormon again. And I went to the index, and I looked up every single verse that talked about death. That is very creepy for a girl of 19 years old, but that's what I did. So I looked up every single verse. And it brought me an understanding and another confirmation that, yes, this church is true. What the missionaries taught you was true. What you know is already true.
Mm-hmm. And what year in college were you at this point? You were 19?
I was 19.
So you were your second year thereabouts in college?
That was,
college,
I think it was still my first year because he died in spring. Mm-hmm. And I was finishing up my first year.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Ksenia, talk about how your parents and your family reacted to your interest in the Mormon Church and how you finally disclosed to them that you had joined the church?
That is a good question. So I guess I made my first mistake when I didn't tell my parents that I was going to be baptized. I was so terrified of my father that I decided that I will take this step, I will get baptized, but I will tell them later. And I had the reason to be terrified because my dad, even though he is not a churchgoer, he is not a believer, but he thinks that if you're Russian, you have to be Orthodox. It's just that's what comes with your nationality. Your religion comes with your nationality. That's my dad's belief. So when I started going to church, he told me that you can't do this because you're being a traitor to your, not only to your religion, but to your country. That's what he told me. And for me, it didn't make sense because I couldn't stop thinking that my dad never went to church. And that, how can you say that? Because I'm making my own decisions here. So I was baptized on October 19th of 2002. And I didn't tell my parents that I was going to do that. Later on, a few months later, actually, I was in hospital. For some reason, I don't remember why, but I was in hospital and I was staying there for a few weeks. And I guess my dad, while I was in hospital, he went through some things in my room and he found one of the diaries that I had. And he found an entry. And I know that that was not very honest to do, but my dad did that anyway because I think that he was very concerned. And he was worried about me. That's why he did that. So he found an entry that one of the sister missionaries that taught me made. And it talked something about congratulations on your baptism or something like that. So he knew that I did that. He came to the hospital and he was furious. I thought that, okay, this is the end. I was so afraid of my dad. When I was released from the hospital, they basically said that I couldn't leave the house, that I couldn't see my friends, I couldn't go to school. I will be staying at home. And that way my dad was hoping that he will protect me from the evil Mormons. That's what he was trying to do. So, of course, he couldn't keep me in the house for a long time. And I started going to church and I started going to school again. But the reaction from my family was, no, you can't do this. This is bad. You have to forget about it. You made a horrible mistake and let us open your eyes. It's actually their attitude right now as well. It has gotten a lot better. But in my family, we're not allowed to talk about the religion. Only my dad is allowed to talk about the church and about Mormons. And when he talks about them, he normally raises his voice. So that's what the situation is like right now. But again, I can't blame my family because it all comes from misunderstanding or not having enough information. And I think they are afraid to take that step to learn more. It's very easy to go online and read a lot of different crazy information online in the privacy of your room, but it's very hard to go and talk to the missionaries face to face. So I think that's what my family was going through. And I don't blame them, but that's their choice.
You had also an experience where you decided to go on a mission, which required a lot of sacrifice on your part. But it also brought on additional consequences or reaction from your family. Talk about that decision, how you came to that decision and the sacrifice that it required.
Mm-hmm. I was in my third year of college when I got that urge to serve a mission. I knew that I was supposed to, and I knew that that decision, it was not even a decision. For me, it was an obligation. I knew that I'd learned so much, I knew so much that it was my obligation to share what I knew. I knew how happy I was. I knew that I was so blessed that I knew that I needed to serve a mission. So that was not even questionable. I didn't doubt about it. I knew that I had to do it, and I was going to do it. So I turned my papers in secret. I didn't tell my family again. Again, I was very terrified. And you can't blame me either. It was very scary. So I didn't tell my family, and I put my papers in. I got them back. I got a call to serve in Moscow, Russia. And there were only about 3 weeks left before I had to go. I had to report to the MTC, and I still hadn't told my family that I was going to leave them for 18 months. And with every day, it was getting harder and harder to think about it. I knew that I had to. So I told my family that I was leaving, and my dad, he went pale, and he said that if you decide to go on a mission, the doors to this house will be closed for you. On the night that I left, I took the train to Yekaterinburg to be set apart as a missionary. He told me that this is your last chance. Because if you leave right now, you're not going to be my daughter. And I just said I knew what I needed to do, and I told my dad that I loved him, but I still needed to go. I felt like it was the right thing to do. And when I came to the mission field, the first 2 months were very hard. And it was the Christmas time when missionaries were making phone calls, and I had to make a phone call back home. And I called, and my dad answered. And he didn't want to talk to me. He gave the phone to my mom, and he just said that I do not want to talk to her. And that just broke my heart. And it was hard to be a missionary. It was hard to get used to your area, to get used to your companion. But it was hard to be rejected by your family. But a few weeks later, my dad called the mission office, and he literally threatened one of the missionaries that was serving in the mission office. And he said that I needed to talk to my daughter right now. And, of course, that missionary told the mission president, and he just called me and he said that you need to call your father right away. And I did, and my dad said that he forgave me and that he wanted to, and that he asked me for forgiveness, and that he was willing to make it work. So I know that I offended him by my choices, but ever since things has gotten better. So he has helped a lot, even on my mission. So he wrote me a few letters, and I talked to him on the phone, and I knew that he was doing better.
Have your parents ever commented on changes they've seen in you or been impressed with the new life you found? Have they ever mentioned anything like that?
I think, I know that my family are proud of me. And sometimes it takes, it's a little bit harder for Russians to express their feelings, and especially for my dad, to say I love you or to say that I'm proud of you. But I know that he is proud of me, even though he doesn't want to admit that everything that I have achieved in my life, and I need to be grateful to the church and to the gospel, because the gospel helped me become who I am. And my dad, having the church as a huge part of my life, is a huge factor that influenced my personality. But my dad doesn't want to admit that. And it's his decision, but he knows that he is proud. I know that he is proud of me.
I think in some ways, maybe he has admitted it because he's been willing to, open those doors of communication again with
That's
you.
That's true.
And,
uh-huh.
and that says a lot mm-hmm. For a dad.
And he supported me. And I know that sometimes when my little siblings get in trouble and they're not members of the church, so they do get in trouble every once in a while. And when my dad knows that I don't get in trouble, he sees the difference. And it is easier to have a Mormon child than a normal child, to tell you the truth. So I think my dad realizes that. And I just treasure our relationship very much. So I'm grateful for his support. He's just a great man. He needs to be baptized.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
It sounds like his heart's been softened quite a bit already, really, you know, mm-hmm. over the years. So yeah. That's really positive.
It has
that's
been.
Great. And also, we ought to insert a little bit about the sacrifice you made with your schooling, because you, when you made that decision to go on your mission, you gave up quite a bit as far as your opportunities to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
It opened other doors for you eventually, but mm-hmm. talk about that.
And I actually think that the fact that I was at school and I was quitting school just made my dad furious, because in Russia, if you don't have education, all doors are closed for you. So you can't go anywhere. And he realizes what it's like to have education and what it's like when you don't have it. All of my family, they graduated from college. All of my siblings, even my little siblings, they graduated from college 2 years ago. So he knew that if I had dropped out of school, it means tragedy in my life. So when I did that in order to go on a Latter-day Saint mission, for him, it didn't make any sense. For us, being LDS, we know that sometimes you have to make those sacrifices, and the school can wait, and you can complete it, you can finish it after you're done. But for the person in the world, it doesn't make much sense. So I was, my dad supported me a lot when I was studying to get accepted to the university, and he knew what it took me to get accepted. It's not very easy to get accepted, and especially to the program that I was doing, it was just tough, and he knew what I went through. I got a federal scholarship that paid 5 years of my education, and I only did it pay for my tuition, but they also gave me money monthly. So when I decided to serve my mission, I had to quit that. I had to say no, thank you. And for my dad, it just didn't make any sense that I was giving up all of those opportunities. So when I got back from my mission and I went back to school, I already knew that I had lost the scholarship. I had lost that federal scholarship. But I also felt rejection from the staff and from the faculty. So I decided that I was not going to go back to my school, and I was not going to finish the program. And so that is, that. I guess that was one of the things that made my dad really mad and made him question my decision to serve my mission.
Did that, after you had quit going to school again, what were the decisions that you had before you that actually eventually led to coming here?
Mm-hmm. So when I returned from my mission, I was at home for only 3 months, and I was looking for a job because I decided not to go back to the university that I had previously attended. I got a random phone call from Moscow from a person who was offering me a position that required relocation within 3 days. And I said, I am unemployed. I'm going to take the chance and I will go. So I accepted the employment. I moved back to Moscow and started working for the church as a translator for the humanitarian services. So that was my first job in Moscow, working for the church. And so I moved to Moscow. I actually ended up staying there for 2 years, and I got a few promotions, and I finally ended up as a financial assistant for CES, for the area office. And it was a lot of fun to work there. So I was able to save some money, and it felt right to come here to the LDS Business College. And I'm going to graduate in a couple of months, and things are great. I've learned so much about the church and about business here. I felt like I was supposed to drop out of the school that I was attending back home. And looking back, I don't question any of the decisions that I've made. If I had a chance to do it all over again, I would do it again.
Wonderful. Ksenia, will you describe a little bit about what the church, what it's like being a member of the church in Russia? And, I mean, because it's really kind of it's still an embryo. Mm-hmm. It's still barely starting to grow. Talk about the growth of the church and the atmosphere with the, you know, the LDS faith in Russia.
Mm-hmm. So in Russia, if you're a member of a branch, you are in very tight relationships with the members, especially with the people of your age. So you hang out together, you do things together, you serve in your callings together, you go to the movies together. So since you do get some rejection from your friends in the world, in your classes, at school, or with your former friends, you do stick with the with people who understand you. That's why in Russia, most of the youth, they hang out together with Mormon youth. So you have this wonderful group of people that spend a lot of time together. So that's something that I remember from being at home. Since the church is very new in Russia, I guess, especially when I was serving as a missionary, we saw a lot of different things. And sometimes some new recent member of the church would come up and he would share his or her testimony. And it just very clearly reminded you of some Orthodox sermon. You knew that they had a lot to learn because we're so young. And so that's something I remember as well.
Well, you even talked about yourself. You know, you when you first joined the church, you were kind of converted on the plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a year or later, or longer, maybe after Dennis passed away, that you really dug into the Book of Mormon and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and found out what the gospel is all about. Isn't that true?
That's true. And the same was with the law of tithing. So when I was baptized, I didn't understand that. And I guess I didn't think much about it. But then I remember one time I was being in a meeting and they talked about the law of the tithing. And I just realized that I had never paid tithing before. And I thought, okay, I am a member of this church. Everybody's doing that. Why don't I try? So again, that is exercising of your faith. So I tried that. It felt good and it felt right. So and ever since, I've been a full tithe payer and I know that it has brought a lot of blessings to me. But I guess coming from a different background, a religious background, you have to learn those things one by one. A conversion is not, it just doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a year, over years, actually. You have to learn those things one by one, and you have to gain a testimony about every single one of them. And most of the people that I taught on my mission, they had to go through the same thing, and I could relate to them because I had gone through the same thing.
Mm.
When I joined this church, I learned a lot about the Savior. I learned a lot about Jesus Christ. Even though being a member of the Orthodox Church, I knew why Christ came. I knew that he was the Son of God, but the teaching of the atonement was very obscure. It didn't make much sense to me. So when I joined this church and when I read about the atonement in the Book of Mormon specifically, it just made everything clear. It made a perfect sense what the atonement means. And I think that's a huge thing. It's not only about, I guess when I came to church, it was not only the teachings about the plan of salvation attracted me to the church, but also the teaching about Jesus Christ. They just clarified my understanding, and I gained a solid testimony about the atonement and about Jesus Christ. Because when you're a member of the Orthodox Church, you just know that he was. And you know that he did good things, and that's all. How he's going to help you, that is not clear. Why we need to love him and do what he wants us, that is not clear. So everything is clear in this church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you. Well, Ksenia, you've been wonderful to talk with today. Will you please, in closing, will you share your testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and why you believe and why you've come to believe.
Mm-hmm. Can I do it in Russian first?
Sure.
Okay. Я знаю, что это церковь истина. Я знаю, что сейчас ей руководят пророки Бога. Я знаю, что Джозеф Смит сделал так много для спасения человечества. Он перевел книгу Мормона посредством Духа. Он, чтобы мы могли знать, что нам нужно делать в этой жизни. Я знаю, что это Церковь истина, и что Иисус Христос жив.
I have a solid testimony about the church. I know that it's true. I know that it was restored through the prophet of God. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet, and what a blessing it is to have living prophets right now. I know that President Monson is inspired, and when I hear his teachings, I have confirmation that he is the prophet every single time I hear him. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He has done so much to me, and I know that only through him I'll be able to come back to live with our Heavenly Father and to have an eternal life with my family. I know that.
Wonderful. Well, Ksenia, thank you so much for being with us today on the Why I Believe program. It's been great to have you with us and to hear your conversion story. It's been so interesting. Thank you so much. You're listening to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel. For information on this program and other programs on the Mormon Channel, please go to radio.lds.org. Thanks for being with us today.